Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Because you love. start off right where Pastor left off. Life is not a reward, and death is not a punishment. I don't know about y'all. Life is what's killing me. Let me tell you what. A minute ago, I had a full head of hair.
I could
see. Now, if I want to see something, I gotta wait. Which bifocal am I gonna close this eye? I had energy. I had vitality. Life is giving me a lot of problems. That's not a reward, and death isn't meant as a punishment either. I told my wife when we got married, I told my wife, no clears. And she said, what do you mean by that? What do you mean it's no clear? It's like in the movies when a guy's dying and they say, clear! And they hit him with the hit him with that thing.
No clears.
I'm gone. That's all you get. If I see the pearly gates.
Don't bring me back.
Bring me back. Okay? You think I'm ornery now. You won't even believe what will happen when I come back from that. You don't even want to hear the sermon that would come out of that scenario, you know. My death is not going to be a punishment for me. And I think we ought to be honest about how we feel about all that. We also have this thing, people, whenever someone dies, there's always an attempt to find a meaning in that death. What does it all mean? You know, there isn't any meaning to death. It doesn't work that way. Same thing with your birth. Everybody want to know when you were born, you were a Gemini or whatever, play whatever thing in the lottery or whatever. It don't mean anything. You know, what matters is what's in between is the life that has meaning. That's what we have to look at. That's what we have to examine when people pass away. We don't look for meaning in death. And I think the real problem, once you boil all that down, is this huge temptation we have towards self-pity. Mm. And that's where the problems really start. I don't know about you, and I'll just preach this sermon about myself. Every backslid I ever had started with poor me. Hey, I've got it. Hey, you don't know. I've got it bad. So I have to do what I have to do in order to deal with that. All bets are off. It doesn't matter. The rules don't apply to me anymore. I got to do this in order to survive, and you don't know how it is for me, and I got to feel sorry for me. Then next thing I know, I'm slid all the way back down. I have to treat self-pity like it's poison. And Jesus talked about this. One story in the Bible where there's this pool in a place called Bethesda, right? And the thing about this pool is the rumor was that an angel would come and stir the waters, and if you jump in the water, you would be healed of whatever you had. So Jesus is in that area there, and this is the conversation he has with a brother. He says, in Bethesda, a great number of disabled people used to lie around, and the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me in the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else go down ahead of me." That wasn't what he asked, though, was it? I can see you got no working legs. We knew that. If you'd already got down in the pool and been healed, we wouldn't be having the conversation. I asked you, do you want to get well? That's what I asked. I don't want to hear the story. You see, some of us, and I'm pointing the finger at myself, you understand, some of us are so wound up on self-pity and woe is me and look how bad I got it. We could be right there with somebody trying to help us. We're still feeling bad about the thing. Yeah. Hey, if I jump in the water, got well, I wouldn't have this story to tell anymore. I wouldn't have anybody to feel sorry for me. It's a hard choice I got to make, apparently. So what do I do with myself here? See, that's what we have to ask is once we get that, when we feel that pull of self-pity and that temptation to feel sorry for ourselves, we want to start using death as an excuse to say, oh, hey, you know, when this happens, hey, I have to, if ever there was an excuse to go back into the bottle, go back to my old lifestyle, whatever, just for just this once.
Yes.
Just today.
Just for today, then that this would be that excuse. And that's where we get into all these problems. That's what I'm trying to help you understand. There's no help at the bottom of that bottle. God can heal your heart. Just the same way you can heal this person who's got legs that don't work. God can heal your heart. He's asking, do you want that healing? He's not saying, do you want to get to a place where that death doesn't matter anymore? Because that death is going to matter. We don't paint a smiley face on this thing either and pretend like it's not killing us either. We're not talking about that either at all. But Jesus is saying, you're hurt. Do you want to be healed? I will heal you. Let's make this clear. God cares about what you care about.
Yes.
We were talking about, Weldon said, you know, real men cry. Okay. And one of these brothers here pointed out that Jesus cried. That was in John 11:35. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. End of discussion. You know. And if you go back to the context of that story, that's where his friend Lazarus has died. He's in the tomb. And Jesus knows what he's about to do. If it was me, I would just be telling everybody, what are you all crying about? I'm about to fix it. I'm Jesus. You act like I can't fix whatever I want to fix. I keep fixing things. You all don't understand the principle here. You know, whatever is broke, I can fix that. But Jesus didn't have that attitude. He's a better man than me, which thank God for that. He looks at that situation and he sees all these other people hurting.
Yes.
And he hurts for them. Even though he knows it's about to be over, he still hurts for them. That's how he feels towards you. His heart is towards you. If you're grieving, if you're hurting, God's heart is towards you. God has sympathy. He has pity. He has understanding. He's with you. We get that sense sometimes when we're grieving that we're on our own. We feel alone sometimes when we're grieving. Now, when someone's died, then that triggers that abandonment thing. I'm being abandoned here, and I'm lonely, and I'm on my own. And now we're getting into all that nonsense. You can see how here I am sliding down, just thinking that way. But God comes alongside us and says, no, I weep for the things that you weep for. There's a comfort in that. Let's look at this last verse and we'll end on this. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way, you know, kind of leading the procession, they rebuked him, told him, be quiet.
Shut up.
You know what I'm talking about? Behave, Jesus is here. Church folk, you know how that is. This is my man here. But he shouted all the more, which is the right thing. He's not talking to them either. Son of David, have mercy on me. But here's what happened. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And it's hard to see on here, but he said, Jesus said to him, receive your sight.
Yes, sir.
Done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I want this. Jesus said, you got it. Simple as that. Simple. I want you to look at that as a contrast to what we read earlier. You know, there's a difference in the attitude that we have in terms of receiving healing, in terms of getting over these things and getting a restoration. We have to get to that point where we say, this is what I want, and I'm ready to yell and shout and to get Jesus' attention and say, come by here and look at me and deal with me and help me out. I need you, Lord. I need healing in that area. And Jesus gives no hesitation to give him that love and healing. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. We love you. We love you. Love you.